The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
After 50 years of rule under the Assad family, 13 years of civil war and 12 days of a surprise rebel offensive in Syria, the rebels have taken control of the capital, Damascus, forcing President Bashar al-Assad to flee to Moscow and resign. It marks a significant turning point for the country after a civil war that has claimed over 500,000 lives and displaced 12 million others. In a moment, we'll speak to Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Politics. But first, let's listen to Syrian rebel leader Mohammed al-Julani speaking yesterday at the historic Umayyad Mosque following his group's capture of Damascus.
This victory, my brothers, is a victory for the entire Islamic nation. This new triumph, my brothers, marks a new chapter in the history of the region, a history fraught with dangers. Leaving Syria as a playground for Iranian ambitions, spreading sectarianism, stirring corruption, it became the world's leading source of captagon. But today, Syria is being purified by the grace of God Almighty and through the efforts of the heroic Mujahideen.
So, Fawaz, good morning.
Good morning.
So, the overturn of the Assad regime came very quickly in the end, but was it looming for some time?
Absolutely. I mean, I think what we did not really appreciate was how gutted the state capacity was in Syria. The state capacity was degraded to a great extent. The Syrian army that fought for the Syrian regime from 2011 to the present was unwilling and unable to really stand up and defend the regime. It was demoralized. It was starved, physically starved. Syrian soldiers and officers were not getting enough nutritions on a daily basis. And Assad was missing in action. Syria was leaderless for almost 2 weeks. And the opposition led by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham and Abu Muhammad al-Gulani, just you listen to a speech by him, basically struck decisively at a very opportune moment when Russia, Iran and Hezbollah were preoccupied somewhere else.
At the same time, Russia obviously made a decision. We're not going to fight this one out. We're not going to help Assad at this point.
No, Pat, I don't think that's really the correct description of what Russia did not do. Russia did not really have the means to arrest and stop the rebels' advance. Russia pulled most of its forces from Syria after its invasion of Ukraine almost 3 years ago. It has a very small contingent air force in Syria. And basically, most of the bombings were ineffective and targeted civilians' assets as opposed to the rebels. So Syria, this, what happened in Syria in the past 48 hours, represents a major, major catastrophic setback, not only for Russia, but for the Russian president himself, and also for Iran. Iran is another major loser, and Hezbollah. And the major winner is Turkey, of course. Turkey takes it all, because Turkey empowered the rebels. Turkey supplied ammunition and weapons to the rebels. And Turkey has basically opened its borders to millions of Syrians who were opposed to Bashar al-Assad. Mm-hmm. And now Turkey could really breathe a sigh of relief. Almost 3 million Syrians now will most likely return back to their homes in Syria from Turkey.
And is that their fundamental motivation to persuade those Syrian refugees to return to Syria? It must have been quite a burden on the exchequer in Turkey to support those refugees.
Truly, Pat, I mean, the Syrian refugees in Turkey weighed down the political and social system in Turkey. It became a very toxic point of discussion and anger within Turkish politics. Regardless of what you think, President Erdogan, and there is a great deal of criticism to be made of President Erdogan's authoritarian style. I mean, Turkey was the only state in the world, that opened its borders and hearts to millions of Syrians. Imagine if your country accepts and agrees to having 3 million refugees. Not to mention, I mean, Turkey has provided a great deal of aid, humanitarian aid, to Syria. So, yeah, I think now millions of Syrians will return home and will basically begin their journey to a slow journey to a normal life, because surely they have suffered a great deal in the past 13 years from 2011 to the present.
Now, we've been hearing much about the constituent elements of this rebel force, which seems to have organized itself into a pretty integrated army to conduct the operations it has over the last dozen days. But once they get into power, will that unity fragment? I mean, is there a danger of sectarian divisions within the new government?
Oh, absolutely. There's a high degree of risk. I mean, if history serves as a guide, Pat, the odds are against a unity government, because you have a rough coalition of rebels made up of scores, dozens, Islamists, nationalists, centrists, tribal, regionalists. I mean, imagine what happened during the Iranian Revolution in 1979. People don't realize, Pat, that the Iranian Revolution against the Shah of Iran was a broadly based, progressive, relatively secular revolution. Yet the Islamists were able to hijack the revolution less than a year after the toppling of the Shah of Iran. Imagine what happened in Taliban in Afghanistan 2021. They promised heaven. They promised not to really basically oppress women. Yet they delivered dust, and they did not really put their promises into action. So we have to wait and see. And I am a bit anxious. The reason why I'm a bit anxious, Pat, because I think Abu Muhammad al-Gulani, the leader of the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, previously part of al-Qaeda, he is too powerful for his own good and Syria's good. I think, regardless, we talk about the opposition, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham was the vanguard, is the most powerful, well-armed, well-equipped, well-led, well-fed. And an ideology of Salafi Islamism, Abu Muhammad al-Gulani believes in a Sunni Salafi ideology, establishing Islamic Emirate, even though he has been promising basically more tolerance, a unity government, inclusiveness. So far, the rhetoric by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham and al-Gulani is very reassuring for millions of Syrians, but we have to wait and see what kind of government the rough coalition of rebels will be able to establish in the next few weeks and next few months.
I watched an interview that he gave before the fall of Damascus. He gave to CNN a sit-down interview, very calm, and he was asked about his own Islamic jihadi past and his contacts with ISIS and so on. He said, you know, I was young, people change, people grow, and this is where I am now. And he talked of tolerance and how they would have elections fairly quickly, maybe within a year they would have elections, and there would be a new Syria which would be shared by everybody.
Yeah, I like that. He has been making a victory tour and talking about the new Syria. Yesterday, in the most famous mosque in Damascus, he said, this victory is for all Syrians, not just the Sunni. The Sunnis, who represent a majority of Syrians. Here is my take on Abu Muhammad al-Gulani, Pat, for your own listeners. He has shown himself to be very cunning, very flexible, very nimble, very dynamic. And the fact is, I mean, his basically mentors were Abu Mas'ab al-Zarqawi, the leader of the notorious al-Qaeda in Iraq, and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS. It was Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi who sent al-Julani to Syria in 2012. Yet Abu Muhammad al-Gulani became too big for his own good and split from Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And now he basically outmaneuvered and outsmarted Bashar al-Assad and sent him packing to exile in Russia. Again, regardless of what kind of government is established in Syria, Pat, Abu Muhammad al-Gulani is the strong man behind the revolution. He will be leading from the front. He has been leading from the front. I hope that he will surprise all of us and he will basically be true to his words and accept a more unified and inclusive and pluralistic government in Syria in the next few weeks and next few months.
I mean, people are fearful that this may be another Taliban state, some sort of a caliphate of some kind. However, Syria, it appears to me, is rather different in the makeup of its population and its sophistication compared to Afghanistan.
You are absolutely correct, Pat. Syria is not Afghanistan. Syria is not Yemen. Syria is a highly sophisticated and complex and diverse society. My take, and I hope I'm right, we're going to see a basically cocktail, a distinctive cocktail mix of a new government in Syria, where the Islamists, the nationalists, the various communities are represented in the government. Even though Abu Muhammad al-Gulani is the most powerful man among or within the coalition, the opposition coalition, he realizes he cannot really rule Syria in the same way that the Taliban rule Afghanistan. So I think from a strategic and realist perspective, and he has shown himself to be a realist in the past few years, he has matured, he has been baptized by blood and fire. I think his interests lie in having a unity government whereby he really leads from the back as opposed to leading from the front.
Now, are you encouraged by the fact that they wanted to maintain the prime minister, the current prime minister, in place? They want to maintain the administration where they can. There are people who fled their jobs, perhaps in fear, have been told you can come back and take up your job, whether you're on a border post or whether you're at the airport or whatever you're doing, running the civil service, running civil society. Your job is there if you want it. This would contrast with what happened when the Americans went into Iraq and civil society effectively was destroyed.
Very, very reassuring. And reassuring for millions of Syrians who do not really trust Hayat Tahrir Sham and Abu Muhammad al-Gulani. Al-Gulani made it very clear, no attacks against government institutions. But so far, two things we have to wait for, Pat. It's too early. We are blinded by the dust. We cannot really have a clear-cut understanding, clarity now. We have to wait and see how will the opposition deals with the former bosses, hundreds of thousands. I mean, if you are a Syrian, you really had little choice but to be a member of the Baas Party. How will the opposition deal with the thousands of officers of the Syrian army? Will they basically clamp down or will they basically be tolerant? How about the Alawite community, represent 9% of the population, the social base of the Assad regime? They still have not really come into contact with the Alawites in the coast. So that's why early, it's so far, it's so good, really. No major executions, no major bloodshed. The rhetoric is reassuring. It's a moment of hope and joy for the Syrian people. Let's hope that this moment of joy and hope for the Syrian people after 53 years, a brutal dictatorship by the Assad family, basically is translated into a functioning, inclusive, pluralistic government. I'm not talking about democracy. Democracy is the last stage of development. I'm talking about really a constitutionally based and pluralistic government where communities are represented in this government, whether the Sunnis or the Alawites or the Christians or the Kurds or the Druze or what have you.
Should ask you about Assad himself. He is in Russia now. The Russians have confirmed that. He obviously had his plan B in place.
Well, you know, it's amazing, Pat, because when the war started in 2011, the Iranians offered Assad, according to the Iranians' exile in Iran, he said, quote unquote, I was born here, I will die here. He fought, and of course, he brought the temple down on everyone else, including the Syrian people. Now I think he realized that his game was up. And according to Russian diplomats, he basically negotiated a way out, and he promised a gradual, peaceful transfer of power. And that's why his prime minister made the statement on the morning when the opposition took over Damascus. So regardless, I think he will be remembered in history as a person who destroyed Syria, who basically brought about the death of more than 300,000 Syrian people.
Fawaz Gurgis, thank you very much for joining us this morning on our program.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.